Welcome everyone to KenjiraCast, where we will discuss every Godzilla movie. I've been watching Godzilla movies my whole life, and I love talking about them. I am your Canadian kaiju, so let's get into it. In this episode, we are discussing Mothra vs. Godzilla, released on April 29th, 1964. There was also a re-edit American version created by Universal International Incorporated, released on June 26, 1963. Directed by Ishiro Honda, special effects by Eiji Tsuburaya, written by Shinichi Sekizawa, produced by Tomoyuki Tanaka and Sanazumi Fujimoto, starring Akira Takarada, Yuriko Hoshi, The Peanuts, Emi and Yumi Ito, and Hiroshi Koizumi. Plot. In this film, a typhoon plays the catalyst for bringing the ever-popular Mothra into the Godzilla franchise. A giant egg, a shrewd businessman, twin fairies, a giant moth, two giant larvae, and Godzilla begin the new direction of Godzilla and his soon-to-be pals. Showa era, 1954 to 1975. This is the fourth film in the Showa era series of films. This film marks the debut of Mothra in the Godzilla franchise. After becoming Toho's second most popular kaiju, Mothra ended up appearing in 11 Godzilla films in total. I feel it's important to note at this time that I am not a bug person. I don't care for bugs, at all, in any respect. I'm a city boy. This film begins the silly period of Godzilla films, and the addition of a giant moth, beloved by children, led the charge. I was one of those children who didn't care for Mothra. Kind of losing to King Kong was bad enough, but now losing to larvae? Really? This film marks the last time Godzilla serves as the antagonist, and it won't be for a full two decades until he once again becomes the destroyer I prefer him to be. Mothra, 1961. Let's begin by briefly going into the origins of why Mothra came into existence. Building on the popularity and success of 1962's King Kong vs. Godzilla, Toho felt another pairing should be in store for the next installment to the franchise. Thus, the second most popular kaiju, after Godzilla of course, Mothra, was added to the ever-growing list of opponents. In an effort to keep growing this burgeoning kaiju franchise, director Ishiro Honda was quoted as saying, "We wanted to do something that was new for the whole family, like a Disney or Hollywood type of picture." Another important factor that was considered was the rise of television that was in full swing at this time. This is also reflected in the plot of 1961's Mothra. On July 30th, 1961, Mothra was released to immediate success. Winning over children in Japan and in the US, Mothra was a gamble that paid off. In my opinion, this began the clear shift in the Godzilla franchise, moving away from its horror and heavy-toned beginnings. While I can appreciate and understand the value of this movie, it is not my preferred era of Godzilla films. In fact, it won't be until 1984, when I was just 3 years old, that Godzilla returns as an unrelenting destroyer. At least Mothra was pretty badass in 2019's King of the Monsters, but we'll get there eventually. Development. Like any good movie, the original script is not what we end up seeing in the final cut. Director Honda ended up changing many elements of Shinichi Sekizawa's first draft. Some of these elements include: the villain Torahata did not exist, Godzilla's body washes ashore rather than Mothra's egg, Himeji Castle was to be destroyed, and Saki's speech was not in Sekizawa's version, it was in fact added by Honda himself during filming. Suitmation Special Effects. Eiji Tsuburaya returns as the special effects director, Teruyoshi Nakano was the assistant special effects director, mechanical props and puppets were utilized once again for both monsters. This is a proven method at this stage. As for the Godzilla suit, it was constructed by Taizo Toshimitsu. Haro Nakajima, the actor performing as Godzilla, was part of the construction process as he would give input. The suit once again was made lighter to provide more freedom of movement. This included heel reinforcement to help with rolling and flipping around. The previous Godzilla suit from 1962 still had a job to do. It was used for scenes where the actor wasn't needed and provided ultimate safety in that respect. The former suit was used for water scenes and major falling scenes such as right over a cliffside. Now for Mothra, thankfully there wasn't a person folded up into a moth suit and hoisted around on wires. Just like for the 1961 film, a prop was used. A new prop was made for this film, complete with a 15-foot flappable wingspan. The prop's head and leg movements were conducted by remote control, and finally, high-powered fans were used on set to achieve wind for the flight scenes. Of course, you can't have a movie featuring a giant bug without some giant larvae to go along with it. Kids love giant larvae, don't they? I mean, I guess they did. This movie was a success after all. I was a kid that didn't. Motor-driven mechanical props were made for the larvae, and the use of conveyor belts served as the transportation routes for the larvae. Oddly enough, the webbing produced by the larvae and Mothra served as a real possible danger, more so than even Godzilla's atomic breath. The webbing was made of liquefied polystyrene. Tubing and compressed air devices within the larvae's mouths created their attack effect. This achieved the effect of the webbing vaporized at first, then it would become solid webbing once it landed. The danger came when gasoline had to be used to clean the webbing off of surfaces. Those surfaces then would have to be thoroughly dried so they wouldn't combust spontaneously. Emi and Yumi Ito reprised their roles as the Shobijin, the twin fairies who are representatives of Mothra. Wildly popular and known as the Peanuts, these twin sister singers were included to help with maximum publicity for the film. For their scenes, large furniture nearly 10 times their normal size was created. Don't forget, they had to appear to be only 30 centimeters tall. Theatrical releases. Mothra vs. Godzilla was released in Japan by Toho on April 29th, 1964. The film was reported to have a box office of 3.2 billion yen, and with a budget of 123 million yen, it was very much a success. An American version was also released. It was renamed Godzilla vs. The Thing. The idea for this was to create curiosity and hide the identity of Godzilla's new opponent. A poster was even created featuring Godzilla, of course, but censoring the appearance of Mothra. So you could see there was another monster, just not what at all it was. Themes. Many classical themes and recurring themes from the Godzilla franchise are present in Mothra vs. Godzilla. Naturally, the age-old good versus evil is the foundation here. However, this is Godzilla's final portrayal as evil for the next 20 years. Another classic theme is that of humans putting aside differences for the greater good. As far as typical Godzilla franchise themes, the continued threat and reminders of nuclear annihilation remains as long as the G-Man is around. However, I feel a theme that also remains perhaps more subtly is that Godzilla is a penance for Japan's role in World War II. Mothra serves as a symbol of hope and the desire for peace. This becomes more and more evident in future films, including 2019's King of the Monsters and The New Empire from Legendary. Also, that Mothra takes on the role of peacekeeper and support for Godzilla and friends against a common enemy. Although technically with the same era of films, this movie in a way closes the horror portion of this era. The seeds of the Earth's Guardian era is planted in this film. The first common enemy is none other than King Ghidorah. In my opinion, this is Godzilla's greatest foe, the only kaiju that ever truly had or has a legit chance of dethroning Godzilla. But we'll get to that in the next episode. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I've been watching Godzilla movies my whole life and I love learning about how these movies came to be. I'm happy to share what I've learned and most importantly, my fandom with you all. Please reach out to KonjuraCast on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. And let's talk Godzilla.
Hey everyone, Lee the Editor here. Thank you all so much for listening to this, the fourth episode of KonjuraCast. If you heard any music or sound effects that you'd like to use in your own projects, or simply want to support the original artists, you can find all the links to the various assets used in the paste bin available in the description. We'd still like to shout out the original artists and encourage you to visit their respective profiles at the websites mentioned. For music, we'd recommend you check out the artist WHVLE on Pixabay.com. For sound effects, we'd recommend you check out the artists Spotty Leonard, Panzen, and Cabled_Mess, all found at freesound.org. That's all for now. We'll see you all in episode 5 as we continue through the sci-fi section of the Showa era series of films. Bye-bye.